said your unit was...
My queens, all of my choir queens, the beautiful ladies.
Pocket before on vibrate, sing a solo, and somebody called.
Hey, Debbie, there's a bunch of them on vacation today.
What?
We got a little sparse crowd, so a bunch of them are on vacation.
That's the way it is.
Patriotic too many more things to me.
Yes.
Do you want me to make everybody stand up?
It's a grand. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's what she used to do all the time. I don't have the music for that business. She told me before me.
Well,
and I'm not a fan. I can't take it.
I won't forget it, but don't do it now.
Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Sunday morning.
That's right.
I'd like to know if there are any just general announcements before we begin. Now, don't forget, VBS is going to be soon, And there is a list in your bulletins of donations that are needed. So if everyone will keep that in mind. Sam?
Next Sunday afternoon, I'm going to Waynesburg, Tennessee, with a group to work on the house that's been flooded. So members of the CC Church there in Waynesburg, anybody like to go, let me know. I can use your help.
Are there any other... Patrick?
Anybody wanting to go to camp this summer? Any age? Your forms have to be in today, so I have to mail them off.
Are there any other just general announcements? Oh, yes.
Beginning with the next Sunday, there is no early praise, but we have an additional worship service after the Sunday school.
Okay.
Contemporary.
That will be contemporary, that's right. Okay. Are there any other general announcements? If not, let's pause for...
Wednesday night we're having a memorial service for Marilyn Becky's sister. So just come and be with us as we sing praises and scripture and have prayer. Wednesday night at 6 o'clock we'll have something, dinner, pizza, or whatever we're having. And then about 6:30 we'll come into the sanctuary.
Okay, that's a memorial for Marilyn Becky's sister. John?
Yeah, I would like to remind everybody of the opportunity for the town of Nolensville, 4th of July, the celebration of which the town is promoting. Our church has been asked to help with the trash duty, and I know that's not a very joyful job, but it is a job that has to be done if you're working for the community. We need about 12 people. If you could spare some time, I can give you schedules and whatnot. Groups of two.
Oh.
This evening. Thank you.
Okay. See you, John, if you're interested in that. If not, any more announcements right now? Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts and minds for worshiping. I think Miss Sherry needs some help, Jen. Now, do we have any prayer or praise requests? Mike?
Somewhere help comes. see vast cemeteries with markers, white markers. For those who will fall, somewhere today, someone will fall. They're falling to you. They're falling to you. God said, no greater gift than a man laid down his life for his brother. I hope that you remember today your brothers and sisters who have fallen to you in all of years past and even today. Lord, that's the reason we have this holiday. God bless the men and women of the United Services of America in this great United States.
Amen. Teresa?
I have a prayer and a praise request. June 10th, David's going to be going to the hospital to have surgery. They have found a spot on his kidney that they need to have removed. So pray for him, the doctors, for us as we go through that. Praise request in the same respect is he'd been having a pain in his side. We couldn't figure out why. Now we know why. Because we found this so early, they were able to save his kidney to where he won't lose his kidney. They're just going to move the spot. So thank God for pain. Because of this, we're able to have surgery and still keep his kidney. So for that, I'm very thankful.
Thank you. I guess I am too. When was the date? June the 10th, correct?
The 10th is his surgery.
And I thought I was the thorn in his side. Mike?
My sister's going to surgery to have some problems removed.
Okay.
A couple of weeks. Make a couple
of okay. It was Paula, right? Paula Taylor. Anyone else? Mary Jo?
Help her laugh and have fun, and that Trixie, my little white dog, and I have a safe trip.
You're taking the doggy, huh? Okay. Is there anyone else? Ted?
I've said a phrase that you straighten that the entire phrase band.
Well, welcome to everyone. Any visitors that we have, a special welcome. Excuse me. If you will please stand for the prayer and praise adoration.
Let us pray. Father, we invite you here today. We know that you're already here. But we extend our invitation because you are. Lord, we lift your name today for praise, for honor. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to lay down his life for us. As we remember those who have lost their lives for ours, we must remember that Jesus did it for our spiritual lives. So we thank you and we love you. We come here to worship and praise you. Open our hearts and our minds to receive the blessings. And open our mouths to sing praises. So, Lord, we come to you today, here in this place. And we come praying as your Son has taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our call to worship is in your bulletin. Come gather round. Jesus is here.
We wait for the coming Spirit.
Come gather round, see the power of Christ before you.
With joy we praise God.
Pour out your Spirit upon us.
That we may proclaim your glory and your grace.
Hymn 261, Fill Me Now.
Fill me with thy love, O Christ.
This morning, Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, you revealed us to a power that has no parallel. May the eyes of our heart be enlightened to this power and all it has done in our lives. Pour out your spirit of power upon us, that we may proclaim your glory and your grace. Your prayer of confession, if you will just read in silence. Amen. Our words of assurance. May God give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the power of Jesus Christ may be visible in your life. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and empowered to serve. Sentence this morning comes from 1 Chronicles. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. If the ushers will please come forward.
Blessed the third of your kingdom. We thank you for the Gideons who have come today for the meal, Brother Lou, that they are spreading the word that you, through the Bible, that are given out and on so many other things that they're doing, God, we thank you for them. Lord, we just pray again that you would use these monies to uplift your kingdom and bring someone closer to you. In Jesus' name.
Committee will come forward. I believe it's Debbie Hatfield and Jerry Bowers and myself. And is Sally here? Okay, Sally's not here, so it's the three of us. And Karen Miles is also on the committee.
I have to have these ladies keep me in order.
So we have some Bibles for our graduates. We're going to start with our seniors that graduated probably the weekend before or this weekend. Our first one is Lauren Rippey. Our next one is Matthew Reagan. Dylan Holt. Is Dylan here today?
Leah Watson also.
Oh, and Leah Watson did graduate. She'll be here next Sunday.
Okay.
Let's see. We have have one fourth grader. It's a Jenkins tradition to give them all to the rising fourth graders. Carver Hardison. But he's not here today. Miss Louise, do you want to take it for Carver? Now we have our college graduates, Rachel Seaman. Rachel's not here.
Vacation. A lot of people vacation this weekend.
Cody Duncan.
Cody's here.
And John Ball. Is Debbie not here? Okay. Well, we congratulate all of them. And hope that they do well now that they're all grown up. With the exception of Carver, of course. He's only in fourth grade. Okay. We're not finished. We're not done, Mr. Jerry. Don't run off. We want to just recognize those teachers that are teaching our young ones. And we're just going to announce the names real quick. I'm going to let Debbie do that. And then she can say it. Okay. Okay, Debbie is our 5th through 8th grade teacher. Chelsea Wilkerson is 2 through 4. And Cindy Hardy is beginners through 1st grade. And Patrick Wilson has our senior high, 9th through 12th. And we appreciate all of you that teach, even the adult classes, because we can be a pain sometimes too. Debbie is going to read the ones that we know of and what grades they are going to be in. If someone is missed or happens to know what grade they're going to be in, if you'd like to acknowledge them as she calls their name, we'd appreciate that.
Okay, for the senior high, Patrick Wilkerson will have Savannah Ball going into the 12th grade. Jake Fuquay, who is going into the 12th grade, Haley Hatfield going into the 10th grade, Lauren Linder going into the 11th grade, Cameron Miles going into the 11th, Carly Turco going into 12th, Hannah Wilker going into the 9th, Allison Hatfield going into the 9th, Katie Stanley going into the 9th grade,
Rachel Key
going into the 11th, and Alexis Welch going into 11th grade. So if we've missed anybody, let us know.
Boys,
this is your time. There's a bunch of girls in there. Okay. Chelsea Wilkerson has Joy Fuquay going into the 3rd grade. Jordan Stevens, I'm not sure what grade, 3rd grade. Luke Lindsay going into the 3rd grade. Micah Lindsay going into 1st grade. Mikey Miller. Caitlin Mooneyham. Miranda Rose going into the 2nd grade. And Amelia Yatsky going into the 3rd grade. And in my class, I have Bethany Hatfield going into the 6th grade. Reagan Hardy going into the 8th. Emily Moses going into the 8th. Anna Rippey going into the 6th grade. Taylor Stoll going into the 8th grade. Elizabeth Wilker going into the 6th. Catherine Wilker going into the 6th. And Lauren Wilker going into 6th. Again, a class full of girls. And then beginner Cindy Hardy has Charlie Miller, Jordan Mooneyham, Jet Murphy, and Miranda Stout. So congratulations to all of you guys for moving up. And the one thing I just did want to say is for especially you college students that are going, you're graduating high school and going in, just remember God's word is a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. His word is your foundation, and if you keep that, take those Bibles and apply them to every aspect of your life, and just use his word to guide you. It is your protection, it's your comfort, and it's your guide for everything that you go through throughout your life. So I just wanted to say that.
Also, I want to personally thank all the teachers that and give them a round of applause. And you know, they really do a great job, but sometimes they get a little burned out. So if you have it on your heart that you would like to teach, please contact the Christian Ed Committee. We would love to have you. And they'll also be needing some teachers for VBS.
Oh,
I'm not going to let you, Mojo. You need teaching like me. Anyway, thank all of you.
It is children's time with Miss Mary Jo.
Okay, we got everybody? Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a very special weekend, and I brought some flags with me. Can anyone tell me why?
Sorry, with the
flag. Good answer. It's Memorial Day. Yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend. Monday, yep, tomorrow is actually the official Memorial Day. And I want to give you just a little bitty background on your version, okay? Not the adult. This was started during the Civil War. And when you are grown up and older, you will study the Civil War. And you'll find out why there were so many men and women who lost their lives to give us freedom. And that's why we have Memorial Day. Now, it actually didn't become a holiday, I believe, until 1968, when President Nixon signed it into a bill in the Congress that we would celebrate it as a national holiday. But this is where we honor all the men and women who gave their lives for our great country. And we need to remember that, because it's based on the Bible. Jesus paid the ultimate price to save us from our sins. Our soldiers pay the ultimate price with their lives when they protect our country. You are a child of God. You are in the arms of Jesus. Remember that. He paid the ultimate price for us when he died for our sins. And I want each one of you to have a flag this morning in remembrance of all of the men and women who have served our country. And I want to invite everyone here this afternoon, tonight, or tomorrow to come to Murfreesboro at the Avenues, off Medical Center Parkway. You can't miss it if you get on the Medical Center Parkway at the end of the Avenues at the Belk Shop, Belk Store. There is the healing field. It's the most beautiful thing you will see. There are flags flying. And there's 25 rows, and I can't tell you how many flags are in the rows, but it's beautiful seeing the wind in with the flags, and they are in honor and in memory of soldiers from decades ago to present. And it is the most glorious sight. Tonight will be with lights. But I invite you to go to come to Murfreesboro and see that. It's something that you will never forget. Take the camera. Do we have a song, Miss Melanie?
We do.
Come on up.
I know. And I'm here again. I
love my country, our country, your country, and we used to sing all the time in school, all these patriotic songs. We don't sing them anymore much, but I know everybody out there knows these songs, and they will sing with you. We're going to sing My Country Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty, of Thee I Sing, Land Where My Fathers Died. Now, maybe your immediate father didn't die in service to our country, but there are fathers and mothers who have died in service to our country. Land of the Pilgrims Pride, that every from every mountainside let freedom ring. So I want you to wave your flag as we sing, and I want everybody to help us sing, please.
We have a guest speaker this morning. Bill Middleton from the Gideons is going to bring us a message. And I'd like to make two announcements about right after the service. We have a brunch continental breakfast, and would like everyone to stay for that. And also, if you would like to make a love offering to the Gideons, they will have someone at both doors at the back right after the service. Mr. Middleton?
Deborah, next Wednesday night there will be a spaghetti dinner provided for everybody to come.
Okay. Thank you.
Was ended, someone placed a testament in my outstretched hand.
That one testament had a great impact on our lives and our family.
This is an opportunity for me to have a new testament.
As I began to read the book of Revelations, I could see how much God loved me.
was like for the first time in my life that I really felt acceptance.
I'm fixing up this drug, and I see the Gideon's Bible. But there was a force compelling me to pick this up. You know, he says he'd take away all the weights and burdens that you have. They were gone.
It has given me hope for daily living in the worst circumstances of my life.
Then I knew that there was someone who loved me.
All I said was, yes, Lord. And it was like I was born again right there.
To a motel on Christmas Eve, I intended to end my life. I lived most of my life out of control. I had used drugs and alcohol. I was put out of my home. My wife told me to leave, and as I'm sitting in that room, I noticed the book lying on top of the TV, and I looked down and I saw that it was a Gideon Bible, and I thought, who needs that? And I took my hand and I swiped it off on the floor. Well, it fell at my feet, but it fell open. What I read changed my life. It said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Today, I'm a pastor. My family's been restored. My wife has forgiven me. We work together in ministry. All of this because of one Bible in one room and one night. Thank God for the Gideons, and thank God for the Bibles that they put in the motel rooms.
I can never forgive you. I can never forgive you. Those words were spoken by Fred Henslick. And Fred was a medic, and he was back during Vietnam, and he was stationed in the Central Highlands. And he was given a Gideon Testament somewhat like this by the Gideons at the Military Induction Center, and Fred took it with him, and he was over for about 8 months, and they were in a firefight. And as Fred was hiding, keeping low from the bullets coming all over the place, he heard someone say, "Medic." They yelled, "Medic." And so he rushed over to help this person who needed his assistance. And as he did, the action, the firefight moved away from their position, and the Viet Cong came in behind, and they captured Fred as he was assisting this this fellow military guy. Well, they stripped him down, took everything they had, and marched them all to a POW camp. But Fred said, miraculously, he was able to pull that testament out of his pocket as they were stripping him, and he put it down to his side, kind of palmed it like this, and somehow they didn't find it. Well, Fred was a POW for 4 years. Now, can you imagine being a POW for 4 years in the jungles of Vietnam and having a testament with you? It kept those guys from going insane. At night, they would read, and they would study, and they would memorize scriptures, and they would pray, and they joined together in receiving Christ as their Savior, those that had not received Christ. Well, as the story goes on, there was a Vietnamese regular who was a prison guard, and he would come out, and Fred said he just enjoyed just beating the stuffings out of us, kicking us when we were down, turning over our food, throwing it out in the yard, things like that. Just mean all the time. Mean, mean, mean. But he said, you know, we had an opportunity to escape. And they were away from the compound. The opportunity presented itself and they fled out into the jungle. He said they stomped around in the jungle for 3 weeks before finally falling into enemy, away from enemy hands into friendly hands. They were pulled together and went to the hospital. They were given their health again, their nourishment. And he said, I returned to the States and I did my time and I came back home. Praise God, I came home. Military guys really like to come home. Well, Fred said that years later, his mother called him on the phone. She lived in another town in Indiana. And she says, Fred, I have an envelope here with your name on it. And she says, should I open it? Well, he says, of course, open it. And she says, it's in handwriting. It's not a standard envelope. He says, that's all right, just read it. Where is it from? She says, well, it's from Vietnam. And he says, okay, read it to me. Well, she opens it up and she reads it. And it's in kind of broken English and one thing and another. And she, as she read it to Fred, he realized that the guard in that POW camp who had beaten them so desperately was writing to him 12 years later. Blew his mind. He didn't like what he was hearing. He said in the letter, Fred, after you escaped, I was in the compound area where you guys were. And he says, I found your testament because you had left it behind. And he says, I want you to know I hid it, and after the war, I finally found someone who could read and understand English, and they read it to me in Vietnamese, and I prayed to receive Christ as my personal Savior. And he, because in the back of all of our testaments, it has the plan of salvation. So we don't have to be there. You don't have to be there because God is there through His Word and through all of this. And in the front we have helps so a person can find something special to speak to them at a time of need. Maybe they don't know where to find it in the Scriptures and it's right there for them. And so he goes over there and says, God loves you. All are sinners. God's remedy for sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And here this man was sharing with Fred that he not only found the testament, not only became a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, but he became a pastor in Vietnam. And now God was reassigning him from over there over to the States. And he says at the end, he says, Fred, I must see you when I come to the States. Wow. And Fred dealt with that one for quite a while. And finally, he sent back his contact information to this in response to this letter. Well, a little bit later on, a couple months later, he gets the call that he really didn't want to receive. He was hoping he'd forget about it and that'd be it. But he got this call. And the man said, Fred, I will be in the States and I would like to meet with you as soon as possible. They arranged a meeting, and Fred was the meeting was in a neutral place. It was in a hotel, a motel, and so Fred was there with his wife, nervously awaiting for this call, and the doorbell to ring, and sure enough, the knock came at the door. And his wife opened the door, and there stood that little Vietnamese guy, pastor. And Fred saw him. His eyes welled up with tears. He didn't want to do this. He didn't want to be here. He didn't want to go through this. That little man came across that room and knelt down at Fred's feet. And he begged for forgiveness. He went on to say how mean he had been and how vicious he was and how sorry he was for treating everybody so mean and so miserable. But he said, "Now, Fred, my life has changed, and I want you to know that." And Fred said, as I said first, "I can't forgive you. I just can't do it right now. Maybe later." Well, they dismissed and they went their separate ways, and not long after that, this pastor had received an assignment down in South Florida to be the pastor of a Vietnamese congregation. And he called Fred and he said, "Fred, I want you to come down and visit me. I want you to see my church. I want you to meet my people." Fred agreed to do that. And about 3 weeks later, he was supposed to go down. But before that could happen, Hurricane Andrew came across southern Florida there and just wiped out, decimated so many homes and so much territory down there, like many of the hurricanes do these days. Well, Fred didn't know what had happened down there and all, and so finally the pastor's wife called Fred, said, "Fred, I want you to know that pastor was out with some of his people the other night trying to take care of them, and he was killed in the winds and was struck by an object, and it killed him. But he said," she says, "I want you to know, pastor would want you to come anyway and meet the congregation. Will you please come as scheduled?" And Fred said, "Okay, I'll come. I agree to come." So he went down, and they had a beautiful church service, and Vietnamese people, he didn't understand much of what they were saying, but at the end of the service, he was so touched that the pastor's wife said, "Fred, come and just say a few words to the congregation." And he shared his testimony as best he could with the translator. And after the testimony finished, this little lady came up to him. She gave him back that little testament that had been all over the world and back again. As dirty as it was, as used as it was, Fred had received that testament back. All started with Gideon's going out there and making that distribution like we do every day that the MEP centers are open here in Nashville. Gideon's are there. Praise God. They still allow us to come out and pray and place those testaments. Some are closed to us. So while the work is yet to be done, we're there to do it. But you know, there was another person there to give out that testament, and it was you. Each one of you. I was in this church, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago and shared with the Gideons. And they gave a beautiful free will love offering. And every penny of that went in to place Scripture somewhere in the world. So every time we go out, we're church members. You go with us. And your support goes with us. And your prayers go with us. So we're in a partnership here with the local church. And folks, like the film said, reach up and feel your arm there. Every time you feel a pulse, two scriptures are being placed somewhere in the world by the Gideons. Because Gideon's in 193 countries of the world. We're publishing God's word in over 90 languages in the world. And so we're busy about doing the work. And it's a great work. And that's why we come to come back to you and let you know what is happening with this partnership that we're in. So I want you today to embrace what I'm sharing with you as a Gideon, as a fellow churchman, and also as a fellow believer, a fellow Christian. Well, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be here today. I want to thank Lou Alvarides, my prayer partner. Lou came out today. He's praying for me, has been praying for me. And so when we go out, we team up and we support one another. And then we support our churches and love our churches. So just wanted to let you know that. You know, in 1899, three men formed what is now called the Gideon's International Association. And we're Christian, business, and professional men who, along with our wives, the auxiliary, go out and have one purpose, and that is to see the lost come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do it in two ways. One is through personal witness, as you do, going out daily and taking advantage of opportunities to witness. And then the other is through the placement of God's holy word. And we love to place God's word. I was in the Netherlands about 3 weeks ago. Went out. It was a total different environment than what we're accustomed to here in America. It's not the Bible Belt, let me tell you that. But we went out as Gideons. And to me, that was a mission trip, by the way. Gideons don't pay my way for even to be here today or to go to the Netherlands. Gideons pay our own way everywhere we go. Because of 100% of your donations go into the purchase and placement of the scriptures. All right? But one other policy we have is that we do not put out scriptures in bulk. We place every scripture by hand, eyeball to eyeball, in contact with every place, every area of distribution, with the exception of two things. Number one, in prisons where we're not allowed to go in sometimes. We do go in and place it where we can, but we will leave scriptures with the chaplains. And in the military, also, chaplains can get out into war zones and places where we can't go. So those are the only exceptions. So I want you to know that in the Netherlands, we placed over 30,000 scriptures, and all of those scriptures went to students, either in universities and colleges or in high school and in middle school. What a great investment that is, folks, that we were placing the Word of God in the hands of young people, students, and then God will work with them and He'll deal with them, and the rewards from that will come flowing back in. And we're going to see those rewards someday in heaven, because somebody is going to say, hey, thanks for getting that scripture out, just like this person did in the testimony that came here. Thank you, Gideons, for putting that scripture in a hotel. Now, let me tell you, we go to the hotels and motels around town twice a year, and we check our Bibles. Now, let me tell you, those are our Bibles, because we didn't charge anybody to place those scriptures in those hotels and in those hotel rooms. Those are our scriptures, and we go back diligently twice a year to check and pull those Bibles out. Let me show you why we have to go back and do that. Can you see this? You see how ripped up this scripture is? Okay? Look at that. I didn't do that. That was in the hotel room here in this area. Went in and pulled this out. I could show you all kind of Bibles. I mean, it's unbelievable. Some cut out, put drugs in them. There's all kind of notes in there, inflammatory, blasphemous type notes and things like that. So we pull those scriptures out of there, and then, not this one, but if we get one that's fairly decent, we will pull the cover off, put a soft back cover on it, and then place that in a jail or a prison or a place like that, because that actually can be used as a weapon, believe it or not. We don't think that way, but others do, and that can be used as a weapon, so therefore, they don't want us to place that. I want to just share with you, we go, as I said, all over the world. We were in Malawi not too long ago, and in Malawi, we made a distribution there, what we call a Bible Blitz, put out 238,000 scriptures in about 10 days. Well, folks, let me just share with you, 888 schools were contacted, and a scripture was placed in that many schools by Gideons. Now, we had translators there, and a lot of those Gideons were local Gideons, okay? And that's the neat thing about this ministry, is that the Gideons are there, They're indigenous to those areas. We don't have to train them to speak the language. We don't have to work with them with cultural shock and all the social problems they may have to go through. We don't have to find a place for them to live. We don't have to send them over into containers. We don't have to do any of that, okay? Because they're there, and they're asking us to do one thing: send scriptures, more scriptures. So here they are out in the jungle. They went to healthcare centers. They went to prisons. They went to all kinds of places to distribute these scriptures. And here's what's funny. I've been to Lilongwe before, where in Malawi, where this story comes from. I didn't make this particular distribution. I should have, doggone it, but I didn't. They were out. They rented a bus, and they're heading out to make distributions all over the area. And the brakes go out on the bus. So they pull her off the side. They start tinkering with it, trying to figure out how to fix this bus that they rented. And while they're doing that, the Gideons all offload the bus, and we're walking around. They're walking around, and they've got testaments with them. And so they start handing testaments out to the people that are coming around. Well, after a while, they realize, well, they need somebody to speak to them. So they get a man to come over who says he can translate. He starts translating, and as he's translating, they get to the back page of decision, again, which is in all the scriptures except the fifth grade. And in the back of the scripture, he's going through the plan of salvation. And when he gets to the point where he says, if you would pray to receive Christ as your personal Savior, and ask him to forgive you for your sins and take him as the Lord of your life, and you will be saved. Well, the translator stopped translating. So he kind of nudges him a little bit and says, okay, well, what's the problem? And the translator says, I cannot ask them to do what I have not done myself. So he prayed to receive Christ right then. As the Gideons loaded up the bus and going off down the road, here is this new born-again Christian with his own personal testament still sharing the gospel with all the people who had gathered around. He's a missionary, instantaneous, just like that. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, God's word doesn't just stop. It's always on the move. It's always going and doing things. Now, you know, one of the reasons I brought this up here, I wanted to show you. You folks can provide funds through the card program. And you see these beautiful cards here. Now, somebody had mentioned a lady that had lost her a loved one, like a sister or something like that, earlier. And someone might want to send an in-memory card to that lady, who the bereaved, okay? And these cards are free to you. We pay for them out of our own pockets. And they're beautiful cards. And you could go and maybe spend $2 or whatever to buy a card. Why not use our cards for free? And then what you would do is you would send a check for maybe $5 for a full Bible, or $2 to cover a testament or something like that. And it's a great way to support the Gideons. It's a great way to support your friends and your neighbors. And you can do a thinking of you, maybe someone going through a tough time. I'm thinking of you. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. You know, it's great to receive a card in the mail. We also have over here, you can order anniversary cards, birthday cards, and things like that. So there are a lot of cards that you can use, and it's always appropriate to use a card like that and to supply more scriptures for around the world. Well, let me just conclude with one last testimony, and it comes from Indonesia. And the governor in an area we were in Sumatra, near Medan, he called us in the middle of the night. It was about midnight, and I wouldn't dare to take the call, but anyway, he said, guys, I don't want you to go out tomorrow because there have been threats against your lives. And he said, there's been a lot of friction here, and I want you to know that. So he said, please don't go. Well, the next morning, about 5 o'clock, we met for prayer, and that's when they shared with us, said, guys, don't go. And so we prayed, and we all decided to go. Well, my assignment that day was to go with a Muslim driver, a Muslim translator, And I don't know who was kicking up the ruckus, who was causing the trouble, but these guys were still very friendly. And we headed out, and on board that little vehicle, we had 30 cases of scriptures. And I said to the translator, I says, we will not come back here until those boxes are empty. I can't go home with scriptures that need to be put out, care how long it takes. Well, we went out. And I'm telling you, folks, we went into the jungles. I mean, you know, this driver would stop, and there'd be a path, and you'd walk down this path, and down that path, there would be a school. Now, here's what we would do. We would take a scripture, like the Indonesian scripture I'm trying to find here. There it is. That's an Indonesian scripture, and it's bilingual. It's in English and in their local language. And what we would do is they would gather all the students around. Some schools may have 1,000 students. Now, out in the jungle, we didn't see schools like that, but I did go to one in the city. Now, we would offer them a free book if they wanted it. And so we would just say, if you like to have one, just raise your hand. And so they would, you know why they would raise their hand? Because they had no books. You go to the school library, there were no books in there, maybe one or two. But they get their lessons on a sheet of paper. It's all musty and dirty. And then at the end of the day, they have to turn that back in again. Okay? Now, here we are representing our local churches, going out giving a Bible, a book. Now, they don't know what's in that book. We know that. But when we give them that book, after everybody has the book, and through the translator, we tell them what's in that book. And that this is God trying to speak to your heart. Open your heart up. Open your mind up. And let God speak to you. And then we go through the plan of salvation on the back, that all are sinners, but God loves the world so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And then after that, if you prayed that prayer, would you raise your hand? And, you know, just about everywhere. Now, I know there's peer pressure and things like that, but these children would raise their hands. They would lift up their Bible. And a lot of times we'd say, now, if you did that, would you write your name in the front of the scripture? And a lot of them would write their name in the front of the scripture if they could find a pen or a pencil or something to write with. Okay? So this is what's happening all over the world. 193 countries. Every time your heart beats, two scriptures are going out. Now we ask you again to pray for us. We ask for maybe some men and women in this church that might want to join the Gideon ranks here to do the work we're doing. Because not only are we in the hotels and keeping those scriptures up, we're also going to Vanderbilt and to MTSU and other schools distributing God's Word. We never charge. We offer those scriptures, and we're face-to-face as much as we can be when we're offering a scripture to someone. And they're ready to give a testimony if they want to know more about it. So we are an extension of your church. We thank you so much for your support. We will ask for a free will offering on the way out. No obligation whatsoever. We'll be standing there with open Bibles. And if you'd like to place some money on there, well, we'd be glad to take that. I promise you that we will honor your gift. And we'll come back and tell you how it's going out here, okay? Love this congregation. You're always so friendly. And I know your mission heart. You love missions and you love witnessing. And I appreciate that about you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Oh,
someone who's never heard.